Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise God, hallelujah, amen forevermore. Welcome to Bible study, and I know you've been waiting to receive the word of the Lord. And you know one thing about God's word, when it comes to deliver everything that God has prepared for us, and it comes in the full package of who God himself is. Praise God. So God and his word are inseparable. When God's word comes, it comes with God. In fact, the word is God. So hearing the word is hearing God, receiving the word is receiving God, and acting on the word is acting on God himself. And God cannot fail because he is God. And so his word cannot fail. Praise God. All right, and this is a special time. And anytime God's word is coming your way, you must be ready to receive the word of God. The word of God will fulfill in your life what God alone can do. Praise God. So get ready to receive God's word right now. As we pray, I want your heart to be open in the name of Jesus. Father, our hearts are open. We thank you for your word, your blessed word. Hallelujah. Your word is so blessed, so gracious, so good, so powerful, so full of your goodness, your power, your potency, your faithfulness, your character, so much so that anytime we receive your word, we're receiving you. And we give you praise for this special moment of receiving your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are asking that you will speak to us and let your word come to us specifically. Let everything that is out of alignment in our lives come into perfect alignment by reason of your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what an atmosphere here. I can sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit already. The power of God is so palpable in this place. And I know the same thing is being streamed unto you life. The power of God is so palpable. The presence of God is so palpable. Glory to God. The glory of God is in this place. Amen. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. There's potency. The king himself communicates his power, his goodness, his glory by reason of his word. So when the king speaks, his kingdom goes with his word. Hallelujah. So get ready to experience God in a supernatural way like you've never done before in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I believe you're ready now. Amen. All right. This moment we're looking at, you know, the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word of God. Now, this month for us, the special one, has been a special month for us. It's our month of revelation and faith. So God has been speaking to us, bringing his word to us along the lines of revelation and faith. And the truth is, the greatest revelation of God you could ever have is the revelation of the word, the revelation of God's word, because Jesus Christ is the living word, and it has pleased the Father that in him should dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the word. So when the word of God is revealed to you, that fullness is revealed to you. So you cannot get anything better than that. Glory to God. Because the fullness of God is in the word. Amen. So the ministry of the word of God. Now, what is the ministry of the word of God? The ministry of the word of God is the communication of the word of God to us that brings God to us, that facilitates fellowship with God, that facilitates faith in God, that facilitates the atmosphere of heaven around our lives. That's the ministry of the Word. Now, in understanding the ministry of the Word of God very, very well, or quite well, you have to understand who the Word is or what the Word of God is. Praise God. Now, in Gospel according to St. John chapter 1, you start reading from verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, that verse 1 itself is loaded. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, the Word did not begin with the beginning. All right, the Word had been before the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word began the beginning. Praise God. And the Word was with God. The Word was with God. That means the Word is always in fellowship, in sync with God. And the Word was God. It tells you God and His Word are one. God and His Word are inseparable. Praise God. So the Word was in the beginning and before the beginning began. And the Word is in sync, in agreement, and in fellowship with God. And the Word and God are one. The Word and God are one. The Word of God and God are inseparable. You cannot separate God from His Word, and you cannot separate the Word from God. God is in His Word. The Word is in God. Hallelujah. God and His Word are one. Praise God. Verse 2, look at it. "The same was in the beginning with God." The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things, how many things? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things, all things. Now it tells you making, creation is of the Word. God cannot make a man without the Word. There is no making of any man in the hand of God, in the kingdom of God, without the Word of God. There's no making of anything without the Word of God. So you see, the ministry of the Word of God is the communication of that Word to us, such that that which God wants to do, the will of God, the purpose of God, the mind of God is established. All right, that's the ministry of the Word of God. Now, it's just like, okay, you want to go, you want to cook rice or, you know, cook stew. You have to go to the kitchen. If you have the ingredients in the kitchen, you have to go there. All right? And then you have to make some fire. Praise God. Ignite the stove or gas cooker. And then put the pot there, gather the ingredients, and start making it. You cannot make it without those ingredients. You see, the Word of God is the vital ingredient of God's making. Whatever God wants to make, whatever is God's will that He wants to see done or see fulfilled in any situation, in any life, in any place, He does it by His Word. All right? God moves by His Word. He walks by His Word. All right? God does things by the Word. So when we talk about the ministry of the Spirit, we're talking about the communication of God's Word in such a way that God does things in our lives by the Word of God. Amen? He does things by His Word. For example, at creation, God could not create anything without His Word. The Bible says all things were made by the Word, and there was nothing that was made without Him. Praise God. So you see, that's the ministry of the Word of God. Now, the will of God is far-fetched. The will of God is a mirage. The will of God is a figment of one's imagination without the ministry of the Word of God. All right? You may know what the will of God is, but without the ministry of God's Word, there is no bridge between what the will of God is and the fulfillment of that will in your life. That is the bridge. So the Word of God goes to work. All right? And God does His work in us by the Word. And the Word gets the job done. Glory to God. And that's the ministry of the Word. Now, God can not get any man saved without the Word. The Word has to be preached. All right? Even if the Spirit of God is going to walk in our midst, He does it by the Word. He cannot walk empty-handed. All right, he needs the Word of God as an instrument, a tool. He needs the ingredient of the Word of God to be able to do in our lives what God, you know, would have him do in us. Praise God. So that's the ministry of the Word of God. Everything you know to be God's will for your life, everything you desire, all right, to enter into as God's will for your life, it's going to be possible by the Word of God. It's not going to be by your own effort. All right, by strength shall no man prevail. You cannot use physical strength or mental strength when it comes to the things of God. Amen. All flesh before him is as grass. All right, there is no physical strength before God because he's almighty. Whatever you have desired, you've dreamt about or dreamt of as God's will for you will be done by the Word of God. Amen. So the ministry of God's Word is very, very important. You see, no child of God, no believer can do without the ministry of God's Word. Amen. Praise God. So we understand that making is by the Word, right? All things were made by him. Jesus said to Andrew and Simon, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." How? He made them by his Word. He spoke to them. He cleansed them by the Word. Hallelujah. He commissioned them by the Word. They got born again by the Word. They became apostles by the Word. They were built by the Word. They were made by the Word. Glory to God. Their lives became glorious by the Word of God. There is nothing God can do in your life without the Word. And that's why when a Christian has not yet come to the understanding of the place of God's Word in his life, so to speak, it is like God is incapacitated. That means God is like, I can't do anything. All right? Because he walks by his Word. That's the ministry of the Word. So the moment you begin to receive the ministry of God's Word, all right, what will happen is that the Word of God will begin to bring to you the realities of God's will. All right? You will not have to be dreaming about those things anymore. They become facts in your life. You can relate to them one-on-one because you have received the ministry of the Word of God. Look at verse 4 of Gospel according to St. John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "In the Word was life. The very life of God is in the Word. And the life was the light of men." So you see, the Word of God carries the very life of God, the very being of God, the very character of God, the DNA of God. The Word carries the DNA of God. And the life was the light of men. You see, in that DNA of God is the ability to see, to understand, to know the ways of God, to understand how God works, so you can partner with God intelligibly. Praise God. And it's in the Word. It's in the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the ministry of God's Word is invaluable. All right? It is priceless. There is nothing like the ministry of the Word of God. All right? It takes center stage in the life of the believer. All right? It is the fulcrum, the pivot, all right, around which and about which everything in your life rotates. Praise God. The ministry of the Word of God. And the moment a child of God is born into God's kingdom, gets born again, listen, and he's taught the Word of God, listen, the growth of that child of God will be alarming. It will be in leaps and bounds. Poop, 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 poop. Quantum leaps. Amen? But you see, when someone gets born again and he's not taught God's Word, he may linger in Christ and has chronology and have chronology on his part, but no growth. All right? He has time counting, but no growth. You see, the word is what makes all the difference. So you have to understand the ministry of the Word of God and how to relate to the Word of God the way you ought to. Say amen to that. Now let me show you something in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. And verse 32, Paul speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus by the Holy Spirit. He says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. God builds up by his word. You want to be built up? You want to be made? It's by the word of God. You want to locate your inheritance in Christ. What Jesus died for, what is made available to you, is in the word. Is in the word. You see, it looks to me like the Christian is shut out of God, shut out of everything that is of God without the word. It's like an outer world out there without God, without anything that is of God. If you are shut out of the word of God, you are shut out of everything that pertains to God, everything that is of God. So it is very, very important that you open your heart and receive the ministry of the word of God. Praise God. So I want to share with you today on the core of the ministry of God's word. The core of the ministry of the word of God. Are we together? All right, this is very powerful. Now don't forget that the word of God carries the very life of God, the very character of God. And what makes the word of God what it is what it carries, what is in it. Amen? The word of God carries the DNA of God, the very, very life of God. All right? The very own life of God. That's what the word has. Now, when God speaks, he speaks himself. God speaks himself. All right? You see, the voice of God is the audibility of the very substance of God. That means you can hear God, but you see, right in that hearing of the word of God is God himself. All right? Now, the spoken word is God in sound. All right? God in sound. The revealed word is God in light. Is God in light. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. See? And the word of God can exist in different forms. The Bible tells us, for example, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God said, now you can see God now saying, God in sound. All right? God in utterance, God in speech, and God said. When God spoke, all right, it wasn't someone else that he spoke. It was himself. All right? He spoke himself into manifestation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God was in that utterance to bring the light to pass. To bring it into physical manifestation. Glory to God. So the word and God are one. There is no such thing as the word being apart from God. No, the very substance of God, his DNA is in the word, is embedded in God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what makes the ministry of God's word very, very efficacious and interesting. And that's what I want to share with you today. Praise God. All right. Now, how did we become children of God in Christ? How? We got born again. How? By the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. All right. It tells us, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, look up, please. This is very powerful. We became God's children. We were born anew deep within us by the word spoken to us. Wow. So God was in his word. Look at it. God was in his word recreating us. God was in his word regenerating us. God was in his word giving birth to us anew in Christ. Amen. You see, it is God in that utterance that makes it what it is, the word of God. Amen. God is in everything that is called his word. All right, the word of God as logos, the thoughts of God, the ideas of God. God is in those thoughts. The very life of God, you know, the pulsating life of God is in those thoughts. And then, in utterance, when he speaks it, the very life of God is in that utterance. And when it shines, the word of God, the very life of God is in the shining of the word. Praise God. Amen. You see, the revealed word of God, the spoken word of God, the thoughts of God, the logos of God, amen, everything is God's word. Nonetheless, nonetheless, glory to God, amen, everything is the word of God. Why? Because God is in his thoughts, is in his utterance, his speech. God is in his revelation, his light. Glory to God. Amen. That is how potent and how powerful the word of God is. You cannot live without the word of God. Amen. You cannot do anything without the word of God. The word of God is life. The word of God is substance. The word of God is God himself. Glory to God. So we got born again by the word. The word was preached to us. We believed the word of God. What happened? The moment we believed God's word, bam, that word came into us and made us God's children. Glory to God. Gave us the kind of life, the kind of nature that is of God. The kind of being that is of God was created in us by the word of God. Amen? I mean, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. In fact, let me put it this way, all right? God is the one who sits upon the throne. You know, when he is described in the book of Revelation, it says, he's the one that sits upon the throne. And then his word is the one that goes forth to represent him, to do things for him, amen, to make his will known, to reveal his will, to actualize his will, to establish his will, the word. The word of God is the doing part of God, is the performing part of God. The word of God is God on the move. Glory to God. It is God on the move. It is God doing something, solving a problem, meeting a need. It is God helping people. It is God lifting burdens. It is God opening the eyes of the blind. It is God giving strength to the weak. It is God saving sinners. The word is God on the move. God doing something. God meeting a need. Praise God. All right. And that's how powerful the word of God is. So we were recreated by the word of God. We were born again by the living word of God. Think about it. Now we are God's children, not by conversion, not by mere adoption, but we are God's children by regeneration, recreation. Glory to God. You know what that means? The word entered into us and produced in us the very life of God that is in it. That's how potent the word of God is. You know, I tell people, I say, look, what you're struggling to become or what you're struggling to do is needless. All you need to do is open up to the word of God. The word of God is meant to do in you the will of God. The word of God is meant to perform in you the will of God. The word of God is meant to fulfill in you the very purpose of God. That's the ministry of the word. That's the ministry of the word. Now, let me show you this in Ezekiel chapter 2. And I'd like for us to start the reading from verse 1. And he, the Lord, said unto Ezekiel, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. Did you see that? Stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. Now God said to him, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. Now that sounds like an instruction. God giving him an instruction, right? But it wasn't an instruction. All right? He was the expression of the power, the potency of the word of God. He wasn't telling him to exercise his will. He wasn't telling him to carry out the word of God by action of his will or by an act of his will. No. All right? He was standing him up by utterance, the utterance of the Almighty God. So when he said, stand upon your feet and I will speak with you, he said, the moment he said that, the Spirit entered into him when he spake unto him and set him, not that he stood up all by himself, set him upon his feet that he heard him that spake unto him. Did you see that? That's how powerful God's word is. Now, when you learn the word of God and understand the ministry of God's word, there are certain things that will be done in you. All right? Not by an act of your will, but by the ministry of the word of God. The only place that is important and relevant to exercise your will in receiving the word of God, all right, is in the place where the word is spoken to you and you choose to believe it. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is the place that your will is relevant. But the moment, you know, you are done believing God's word and you've received that ministry of God's word, you leave the rest to the word of God. Because the word of God, oh dear, the word of God is quick. It is active and living. I like the way, you know, the Amplified Version puts, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. All right? It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. You don't help the word of God to live. All right? It is not your obedience that gives life to the word of God. No. The word of God by itself is alive and full of power, making it active and operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that's the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. That's how powerful God's word is. Glory to God. Now, can we look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and verse 13? He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received, look at it, when ye received the word of God. Now, the place where your will is important has relevance. Is at the point of receiving the word of God. If you don't open up to God's word, all right, and then you cannot see the potency of the word of God in your life. But the moment you have received the ministry of the word of God, you don't struggle anymore. The word gets the job done. You don't struggle anymore. If you are still struggling about that very thing, you've not yet received the ministry of God's word. Look at it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received, so at a particular time they received the word of God, which ye heard of us. So the word was preached to them, so they heard the word and received it. He says, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Did you see that? So the moment they receive the word, the Word began to work in them, fulfilling the will of God. The Word of God is potent. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is active. Glory to God. So you don't have to help the Word. All you need to do is open up your heart and receive the ministry of the Word of God. The moment you receive the ministry of God's Word into your life, certain things will be wrought in your life by the Word. You will not have to help the Word anymore. For example, it's just like, you know, using drugs. The first thing you need to do is, by an act of your will, you have to at least use the drug, either by, you know, swallowing it, or it is injected into you, or rubbed on your body. Praise God. All right. So you see, the moment you yield yourself and say, okay, I'm willing to use the drug, all right, that's all that is needed. You swallow it or it is injected into you, whichever means. The drug comes into your bloodstream or your body. Your will is involved. You yield yourself to that drug. And the moment the drug gets into your body system, you don't have to say, this is how to work. Go to my kidney first and then now go to my lungs. No. Don't go there. Come back. It's liver. No. The drug knows what to do. Amen. So when people are struggling, trying to do what, you know, the Word of God alone can do, what is meant for the Word of God to do, to be wrought in your life, it's a struggle that has no end. All right? Don't struggle. Receive the Word. Amen? Receive the Word of health into your body. That's the first thing you need to do, and the Word will start working health in you. Receive the Word of prosperity into your soul. It will work prosperity in you. Receive the Word of healing. It will work healing in you. Receive the Word of light, understanding. It will work understanding in you. Whatever the Word is meant to do, it will do it. Just receive the Word. Praise God. Powerful, isn't it? All right. Gospel according to St. John and verse 11. I want to show you this. This is too powerful. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Received him not. All right? "But as many as received him." Now, receiving is an act of your will, right? Uh-huh. "But as many as received him," that's where your will comes in. "As many as received the Word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." They didn't make themselves the sons of God. All right? The moment they received him, the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God was given to them. And the working, the recreation, the regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit required to make them sons of God indeed was worked by the Word. Amen. "Even to them that believe on his name." Praise God. Now, the greatest struggle any Christian can ever have is trying to attempting what the Word of God is meant to do in his life. If you're attempting or trying to do what God's Word is meant to do in your life, you will struggle. You don't need to struggle. All right? Receive the ministry of the Word. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. We're coming. All right? This is your moment. Amen? This is your time. Your life is taking a new turn. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is coming your way to change you. All right? There's a repackaging going on right now. Glory to God. God is rebranding you. All right? He's giving you a reputation before people. That you wonder, I didn't introduce myself as such, but they will know you by perception because the Word is working. The Word is working. The Word is working, changing you. Glory to God. That's how potent and how powerful the Word of God is. All right. So don't forget, what makes the Word of God what it is the content of the Word. You dissect the Word, you do a surgery on God's Word. Every bit, every cell, every fiber of that Word is God. The very substance and life of God is in every bit of God's Word. The minutest bit of God's Word carries God. That's what makes the Word of God what it is. Amen. See, when we receive that word at salvation, the word imparted unto us the very nature of God, imparted unto us eternal life. The word. Amen. I mean, that's how powerful God's word is. Glory to God. And then the Bible tells us something very, very profound in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. All right, it says, whereby given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, promises communicate to us the grace, the privilege to partake of the divine nature. What does that tell you? These promises are actually spoken words. All right? Words from God. God says, my promises carry my nature. When you receive my word, you can partake of my nature. The first partaking of God's nature that we had was at new birth, at salvation. And how did it come to us? By the word of God that was preached to us. We believed the word, bam, that was it. We were born again. Now, partaking of the divine nature in other things consistent with the divine life also comes by the word. The word, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, the word of God carries the life, the nature of God. Did you see that? The very life of God. Please don't undermine the ministry of the word of God in your life. All right? Don't count it something little. You have to put a very high premium on the ministry of the word of God in your life. Amen? Because every bit of that word carries the very nature, the very life of God. Praise God. And the word can do what God can do. The word is what God is. The word can be what God can be. The word is being God. The word is God. The word is being. You see? Being. The word is life. Praise God. So the ministry of God's word is so important. When you learn to receive God's word the way you ought to, I tell you, you cease from your own struggles. All right? At the point of receiving God's word, that's when your will is needed. You activate your will and say, I believe the word. Amen? All right? At that point, your will is needed. But the moment the word of God gets into your system, gets into your life, gets into your finances, gets into your marriage, gets into, you know, every part of your life, your ministry, your destiny, the word starts working. Glory to God. Communicating the very essence of God to you. Communicating the very nature, the life of God to you. Glory to God. Amen. That's how potent God's word is. Now, look at how God made people gods. He made them a vital part of deity. All right, how? By his word. Jesus, the Lord, speaking in John chapter 10, Gospel according to St. John chapter 10, we start reading from verse 34. Now, I want you to see this. Jesus answered the Pharisees, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? Now, he made them gods by saying something to them. When he said ye are gods, they became gods. All right? Now, note what Jesus, the Lord, said. He said, if God called them gods unto whom the word of God came. Now, if the word didn't come to them in that regard, they wouldn't have any right to call themselves gods. But when the word came and said to them, ye are gods, all right, then they had every right to be gods. You see, right is given by the word. Privileges are conferred by the word. titles are conferred by the word of God. Amen? He says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. He called them gods. He called them gods. And that was it. You know, if you look at the account of Solomon, how he became a wise man, amazing. It was in a dream. You see, the word of God, either in real time or real life or in the dream, whatever God says holds. Amen? Whatever God says is. God said, I have given you a heart of understanding. I have. And that was it. The man woke up with that heart of understanding and he could judge Israel in wisdom. Because God said so. You see, understand the word. You know, when people begin to query the word of God, it is because they are ignorant of what the word of God is. Whatever God says is, you don't have to help the word to become. All right? You just have to stay in faith, stay open to God's word. Don't say, well, I don't agree anymore. Mm-mm. You agreed once upon a time, stay in that agreement. You believed once upon a time, stay in that faith. All right? As you stay in faith, the word keeps working in you, keeps working in you, keeps working in you, keeps working in you. All right? It will perform what it talks about. That's the word of God. Amen? Glory to God. So when he said to them, I have made you, all right, gods, he said, ye are gods. When he said that, because the word of God came to them regarding that, they became gods. Now, what did God say to Moses before he became God unto Pharaoh? God said, look, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. I have. Amen. I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. That was enough. That was enough. All right? And he went to Pharaoh and became a god unto Pharaoh. He began to command the whole of Egypt. Pharaoh was just there on his throne as figurehead. Moses was the one calling the shots. Praise God. What does that tell you? The word God said, he said to him, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. That was all he needed to be God unto Pharaoh. The word said so. Oh dear. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, being is of the word. Being is of the word. Beings of the word. Alright? The word says a thing to you. Alright? You can be that thing. Say, I believe it, and that's it. Alright? Open up to God's word, giving thanks to God, praying and saying, Lord, your word is true in my case. Thank you for it. You don't have to try to be that thing. The word is your being, is your ability to be what it talks about. Praise God. That's how potent, that's how powerful God is. And that's how powerful God's word is. Praise God. All right. And then again, you know, I want to show you something here. You know, we talked about the different forms of God's word. And we talked about the spirit word. All right. Let me just go over that again. The word in spirit form. The word in light form. The word in spoken form, all right, and then the word in written form. Spirit word, light word, spoken word, written word. Let's go over that again. Spirit word, light word, spoken word, written word. Spirit word, light word, spoken word, written word. Praise God. Now, all that, listen very carefully, carries the essentials of God. All that carries the essentials of God. Each of those forms of the Word of God carries God as much as the other.
Did you see that?
All right. You know, this idea that it is only the Rhema word that carries God, that is powerful, it's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not correct. Amen?
Now, let me show you this. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12.
Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God. Now, the word of God, word there is logos. All right? The completeness of God's thoughts, God's ideas, God's philosophies, God's concepts, God's ways. Amen? God's counsels. The completeness, the totality of that is called the logos. Amen? And that is what is documented for us to read and understand how God reasons. So it is likened to the written word. And look at what it tells us. It says, for the word of God, the logos of God, all right, the written word, is quick and powerful. See, the written word is not inferior to the spoken word. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not inferior. All right? The light word is not superior to the revealed word. All right? In written form. No. No. Glory to God. See? So every form, each of those forms is as powerful as the other. Each of those forms carries as much God as the other. Yes. The very life, the very substance of God is in his word. Praise God. And that was why Satan was destabilized and paralyzed in the temptation in the wilderness, not with a rhema, but with the written word. It is written. Man shall not live. It's very potent. The devil couldn't say, it's written word. Give me rhema. Give me rhema. No. Amen. The written word is powerful. The rhema of God, which is the inspired word in you, and then you give voice to it or utterance to it, is equally powerful as the spirit word, as the light word. The word giving you understanding, equally powerful because it's from the same source, from the same person. Amen? And that's why sometimes people throw their Bible somewhere, all right, and they're asking God for rhema. All right? It's ignorance. You study your Bible, whatever the word reveals to you there, all right, that is potent. In fact, the Bible tells us that that is even surer or more sure than any prophetic word or utterance given to you. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible says we'll do well if we take heed unto it as a light that shines in darkness until the day star and the day dawn arise in our heart. Glory to God. Man. Did you see that? So, understand it. The ministry of the word of God. You receive it. You receive the ministry of God's word. Now, let me show you something here. This is very, very powerful. Now, when the word of God is preached to us, it does primarily two things. All right? Number one, the word of God comes to tell us or reveal to us the will of God. All right? Number two, the word of God shows us how to cooperate or partner with the will of God, so the will of God may be fulfilled. That's the word. Primarily two things. It will reveal God to you, his will to you, all right? And then it will show you the wisdom of God, how to go about it, the wisdom of God. So when the word comes, it comes primarily in two packages. The first package is a package of revelation. All right? The revelation of God's will. This is what God desires. This is how
what God wants for us. And then the second package reveals to us the wisdom of God. This is how to go about it. This is how to go about it. Praise God. And then again, if you look at the Word of God comes with the very life or substance of God to enable us or enable the functioning or reality or fulfillment of God's Word in us. All right. And then the second package, which is likened to the first that I mentioned, all right, is to give us light, understanding of the will of God. So you see the Word coming in spirit form and light form. It's coming in the revelation of the will of God and how to accomplish it. Praise God. And in accomplishing the will of God, God is not saying struggle to make it happen. He's saying partner with me. All right? Understand the Word of God is potent all by itself. Can actualize God's will in your life. Praise God. That's the Word. That's the Word. Now, let me show you this in Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Word, lamp. Word, light. So it shows you here the revelational part or side or dimension of God's word. Word, lamp. Word, light. All right? Now, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Feet speaks of steps. All right? Path speaks of direction. All right? So the word is lamp unto your feet to show you the steps to take, and light to your path to show you the way to go. Did you see that? So that shows one of the packages of the Word of God. It comes in two different packages, the light package and the spirit package. The light package and the life package. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 4 of Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, shows us very clearly. It says, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So there are times the Word of God comes and it is life unto you. Life. All right? Life quickening you. Life, all right, invigorating you. Life strengthening you. Life energizing you. Life vitalizing your body, vitalizing you and revitalizing you. And then light enlightening you. Did you see that? So when the word comes, it comes to give ability to do. And then it also comes to give understanding, to be able to partner with God intelligibly. Praise the Lord. Now, some people are used to the light dimension of God's word, that wisdom, understanding, which is very key. All right? Very important. But don't forget that there is a quickening side of God's word, a life-giving, life-vitalizing, life-revitalizing, life-invigorating dimension of the word. All right? And that aspect is the word doing something in you. Getting something done in you. It's so powerful. Glory to God. All right. For example, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus and he told the people to roll away the stone from, you know, the doorway of the tomb, the Bible tells us, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, that was not wisdom that went into the grave. It was life. It was power. It was spirit. The spirit of his mouth went out and landed on Lazarus and quickened his body. His spirit came back into his body. Glory to God. And he was revived. He came back to life. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, when Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda who had been bedridden 38 years in John chapter 5. The Bible tells us when it says, "Will thou be made whole?" was complaining. It says, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." When he said that, he didn't even need to help the man up. That word went into operation. It was the life of God, the power of God, the potency of God, and raised that man from his bed of sickness. Glory to God. That's the power word of God. And that same word can come in light form. It depends on what you need per time. Praise God. There are some challenges in our lives. They are not challenges that require wisdom. They are challenges that require power, energy. All right? Praise God. Okay? A man is stranded on one spot in his life. He has attended seminars, learned different things, but he needs a push. He needs a push. He needs a push. He needs to move on, to move forward. So the word of God comes in utterance of power. Amen. To move that man forward. Glory to God. Amen. Now, the children of Israel were at the verge of the Red Sea. Okay? They didn't need wisdom to part the Red Sea at that time. Okay? They needed the power of God to part the Red Sea for them. And the power of God came and parted the Red Sea. Glory to God. There are times you just need to know what to do. And at other times, all right, you know what to do. But you know that what you are going to do is not going to change the situation as much as, you know, the power of God coming into that thing to change it. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word. All right. And then the word of God went and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word went forth. See, that's the word of healing. Power, 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 power. Spirit, spirit. All right. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, the Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus speaking, he says, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So that is the spirit and life dimension of God's word. Did you see that? All right. It's not talking about light here. It's talking about spirit and life dimension. And there are times from that spirit and life dimension comes life. Because in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So God says, okay, you need to know what to do now. You need to know how to connect the dots in your life. You need to know who to call. All right? The word comes to give light. Did you see that? Okay. So powerful. Hallelujah. And that's the ministry of the word of God. The ministry of the word of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, I remember, you know, when I was done with NYC, in the year 2001 into 2002, all right, and I had some money with me. I didn't even know what to do with the money. It was 50,000 naira, all right, you know, what I had gathered and some seeds and favors that I had received while serving in Cross River State, Calabar, Cross River State. So, and as I was seeking the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto me. Speak with so-so and so, all right, and talk to him about getting a plot of land in Abuja. I laughed when the word came that a plot of land in Abuja for 50K. You know, but I just responded to God's word. I walked up to the person. I said, "Can I get a plot of land for 50K? He said, "Why not? But it's just in a remote place in Buari, you know, area council, okay, after Kubwa, for those who know Abuja." I said, "Okay, fine, that's fine." All right, so I bought the plot of land, mine, just something very small at the time. You know, and just weeks after, you know, the Federal Capital Development Authority, FCDA, just decided to open up that layout So they started clearing the place, opening up roads and all that. And the value of the property jumped from 50K to 250K, 250,000 naira. All right? And I sold it. In fact, this was like barely 2 weeks or 1 month thereabout. I sold it. Amen? And that was it. Now, I needed wisdom at that time, not power. You see, the word of God will be to you whatever you require him to be to you. Whatever. Is it light or power? It will be to you. Amen? Because sufficiency is of the word. There is no inadequacy with the word of God. There is no insufficiency with the word of God. You see, the word of God is powerful. It has power. It has everything you need for life and godliness. Amen? Wrapped in that capsule of God's word is everything you will ever need for your life is wrapped up in God's word. It's in the capsule of God's word. Amen? Praise God. You see? I was praying for someone, all right, and the word of the Lord came unto me, lay your hands on her back. The person was bent over, and I did. The power of God straightened the person, and the person, you know, was standing erect. Now, that was power. That was power. When God said, lay your hands on her back, the word went with power. Glory to God. Not one word from God will be void of power to make itself good. Every word that comes out of God's mouth is full of power to make itself good. You just have to believe it. Praise God. And then you see the word working in your life. Now let's look at the light form of God's word. All right, when the word of God comes to give us light, wisdom, what happens? See, when the word of God comes to paint pictures, all right, on the canvas of our mind, what God is working at is this. God wants you to be able to see what he's seeing. Because partnership is involved here. There are times God says a thing and it just goes straight to the point of the need and gets the job done. There are times God needs you to walk with him, to take some steps. All right, to do certain things. Praise God. And when God wants you to partner with him intelligibly, he starts speaking his wisdom to you, revealing things to you. The light dimension begins to show up in your life. All right? You start seeing things through the eyes of God. Praise God. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you start the reading from verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, all right, the veil shall be taken away. And then it tells us in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then verse 18, I love this. Can we read it together? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is partnership here. Look up, please. Now, God's word is coming to you as revelation, light. Now, I want you to see, you know, the counterpart of this scripture in James chapter 1 and verse 22. You know, scriptures must speak to scriptures. All right? For us to gain good and rounded understanding of the word of God. Now, James 1 and verse 22, we'll read from verse 22 to verse 25. It says, but be ye doers, act out the word. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, the moment you receive God's word, don't let your will resist the word of God. Open up to the will of God. Do what the word says to do, because the word is not going to force itself on you. All right? If any man or anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like or likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He says, but whoso looketh All right. Now, when you look, you expect to see something, right? Okay. Whoso looketh to see, in other words, whoso looketh to see into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. So that means he looks into the perfect law of liberty and then he sees something. So look up, please. He sees that very thing. Oh, and then he partners intelligibly with that thing. He acts it out. He gives action to it, expression to it. That is the light dimension. God wants you to partner with him, all right, wisely. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Did you see that? So, look up, please. When the word comes in Revelation, almost always, there's always something to carry out, to do. When the word comes in power, it just gets the job done. When the word comes in Revelation, God is saying, I need you to partner with him, because we were made in the image of God. We are sons of God, and God delights in fellowship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. All right? The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 John chapter 1, if you start reading from verse 3, it says, you know, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So God expects us to fellowship with him. So he gives us his word, revealing something to us. All right? And then we act it out in faith, and he does his own part. Glory to God. That's partnership. God gets us involved in the process because he loves us. And he wants us to understand his ways. He wants us to understand how he does things so that we can copy him. The Bible says we should be imitators, followers of God as dear children. So you can imitate God. You can copy God. You can do copy and paste when it comes to God. All right? There's no plagiarism when it comes to, you know, God and following God. You can copy God and paste him. Say amen to that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man. All right. So go back to that scripture. All right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It's showing us something here. All right. Now it says, we all of us, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, the mirror here speaks of the mirror of the Word of God. We just read about that in James chapter 1 from verse 22 to 25. Amen? All right? So, it's likened to the mirror of God's Word. That's the mirror of the Word of God. Now, you are beholding with an unveiled face because now you're in Christ. The veil has been taken away. All right? So you are beholding with an unveiled face through the mirror of God's word. You're looking in the mirror of the word of God. And what do you see? What do you see? The glory of the Lord. Now, when we behold the word, when we look in the word, we see the glory of God. Amen? Now, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the standard of living that God has cut out for us. That's what the glory of God is. Amen. Man is not meant to live below the standard of the glory of God. Okay? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come, what? Short of the glory of God. So what did man come short of? The glory of God. Did you see that? So that means he came short of the standard of God. Lying is not the glory of God. All right? Poverty is not the glory of God. Oppression is not the glory of God. All right? Sexual immorality is not the glory of God. Poverty is not the glory of God. Sicknesses and diseases is not the glory of God. Do you see that? So all those things are actually short of the glory of God. There's a way God expects you to live. Praise God. And Christ, the Lord Jesus, has come to reveal the glory of God to us, He Himself being the brightness of that glory. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. All right? He's the brightness of the glory of God. He was never oppressed by anyone. He was not oppressed by sicknesses and diseases. He was not oppressed by sin. All right? He was the brightness of God's glory shining upon us, revealing to us what it means to live the glory life. All right? Gospel according to St. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning was the Word was with God. Verse 14 says, the same Word that was in the beginning was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. All right? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when they saw the glory of Jesus, all right, it was actually the glory of the Father, the glory of God that they saw. He was the expression of the glory of God. He was the example, flawless, spotless, perfect example of the glory of God. Amen. In fact, I like the way the Amplified Version puts this in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It's very powerful. He says, Hebrews 1 and verse 3, He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Did you see that? The soul only. The sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Glory to God. And He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. Glory to God. He is the outshining of the glory of God. Amen. Now, look up, please. This is very important. This world that we are in right now is not a perfect world. The earlier you know it, the better for you. All right? Now, listen to this. When you study the Word of God, the light dimension of God's Word reveals to you what? The glory of God. The way things ought to be. The way things ought to be. All right? Now, I want to show you something today. I believe it's going to bless you. When God showed me, you know, this very thing that I'm about to share with you, oh dear, it changed my life inside out. Are you ready for it? Okay. Now, this is it. Very simple. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. All right? God said, come, let us make man in our image. Mark the word image. In whose image? In God's image and after our likeness. So, verse 27, the next verse, it says, God created man in His own image. So, He actually did it. Did you see that? Okay. So, God made man in His own image and after His likeness. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 in KJV. Let's look at this. I want you to see something here. All right? It says, Jesus being the brightness of God's glory. Who is the brightness of God's glory? The word brightness there means the light of God's glory, the outshining of God's glory. Now, Jesus being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. Did you see that? The word express there means flawless, spotless. All right? Perfect, complete, impeccable, spotless image of God's person. So Jesus, the living Word, is the light of God's glory, is the flawless image of God's person. Praise God. All right, so you see glory and you see image. Now mark the word image again. You know, we read in Genesis 1 and verse 26, the word image. Come, let us make man in our image. Image. All right, let it stick. Okay, and then go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. When I saw this, I'm still going to 2 Corinthians 4. All right, We're going to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, but we're not there yet. But we're stopping here, and then from here, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. That's our destination. All right. Okay. So, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So when we behold the mirror of God's word, all right, we look in the mirror of the word, what do we see? The glory of the Lord. It says we are changed into the same image. Oh. Image. So you can see image and glory. All right? They are like synonyms there in that verse. True? Because you see the glory of God, you are changed into the same image of that glory. So that's the image of the glory of God. So what is the image of God's glory? Don't forget, all right, in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the Bible tells us is the light of the glory of God, the flawless image of his person, right? Okay. So that tells us that the perfect image of God's glory is Jesus himself. But don't forget what the Father said, all right, in the beginning at creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, come let us make man in our image. What is God saying in essence? Come let us make man like Jesus. Period. It's that simple. In other words, he started with Adam, all right, but that was not the end of the project called man. All right, that was the beginning. So he was to start with Adam and then, you know, build him up until he becomes like Jesus. Until he grows up to become like him, you know, in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. I said amen. Now, understand this. This is how it works. So powerful. So the moment the word comes to you, what the word does is this. Listen, and that's why you cannot deal with the word of God and not have something to do with the pictures of God's glory. There will be flashes. Fia! Fia! All right? God will start showing you possibilities. And you look at your situation and say, eh? You mean my life is meant to look like that? All right? But, you know, it's not like this. Amen? All right. So the thing is, you catch the image to start with and don't lose it for anything. That's the first thing. Believe that is the way it ought to be. That is the way it ought to be. And that was why, if you look at Jesus' ministry, he was more of corrective ministry. All right, corrective ministry, you know, it was healing the sick. This is abnormal. It's not normal for people to be sick. So he went about doing good. Healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then he was correcting their doctrine. All right, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, all right, and overflow into 8. Praise God, when he came down in chapter 8 from the mount. All right, you look at it, you have read that it was said of old, thou shalt not blah, blah, but I say unto you, but I say unto you, but. He didn't say, and I say unto you, he said, but. In other words, contrary to what you've heard, he was correcting things. He was showing people, you know, the image of the glory of God, the standard of living, the way things ought to be. Amen. And most of the time, look up please, religion says when, you know, a child of God sees the image of the glory of God, are you with me? The child of God sees the image of the glory of God. You know what the child of God does? All right, he says when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to have. So people hope to become the fullness of the image of God when they get to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with mind by spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled. That ye might be filled. Look at verse 19. That ye might be filled. When we get to heaven? When we get to heaven? That ye might be filled. Where? He was praying this prayer for them here on earth, and he expected God to answer the prayer here on earth. Glory to God. That ye might be filled with how much? All the fullness of God. How much? All the fullness of God. All. Glory to God. Now, if you come to the next chapter, all right, next chapter, you start the reading from verse 11, Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To what end? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right? In the world to come? No. In this present world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, there are times, you know, the image of God's glory and flashes of what God shows you as you receive the ministry of the Word of God comes to you. Look up, please. This is very important. And they are just too good to be true. Like, really, in this world. You mean you will live a pain-free, sickness-free life? That is not possible. It's impossible. But it is possible. It is not impossible. It is possible. It's our reality. In fact, it's much more than possible. It's a reality. Glory to God. Man, this is God's will for us. Praise God. So when the word comes to you, what do you do? Now, let me begin to tie it up now. What do you do? It's very powerful. Amen. How do you receive the ministry of the word? You know, by the grace of God, I'm anointed to teach with all simplicity and clarity the Word of God, new creation realities in Christ Jesus, stressing emphatically the integrity of God's Word. It's very simple. All right? I will tell you point blank. This is how to receive the ministry of the Word of God. Now, don't forget the statement I made earlier, that the Word of God is being. Our being is in the Word. All right? Our being is in the Word. So when God's Word comes to you, open up to God's Word, you may not understand how it will come to pass. In fact, most of the time, you're not meant to understand it. Yes. Read my lips. You're not meant to understand how it will come to pass. I'm not saying that you're not meant to understand the Word of God. I'm saying you're not meant to understand how the Word of God will come to pass. Leave that to God. The how is of the Spirit of God. He can send an uncle. He can cause manna to come down from heaven. All right? He can talk to a white man and say, go to Nigeria, look for so-so and so. All right? He can send a CEO. He can send your pastor. He can use your wife. He can use your husband. So his ways are numerous. God's methods as numerous as there are people. All right? So leave that to God. So you are not meant to figure that out. All right? Now understand how God works. God comes to you and he throws a picture of the glory of God, the way it ought to be, the standard of God. He casts that picture on the canvas of your mind. Is that okay? And then the moment you see it, scream. Say, yay! Glory to God. Amen. That's me. That's me. That's me. Because listen very carefully. We are in the dispensation when you can say, this is that. All right? Which was spoken by the Lord. This is that. You see, when you receive the ministry of God's word and you hold on to that image, all right? And as you do, don't forget what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by our struggles? No. Even as by your effort? No. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. He's the one that will make that to become this for you. Praise God. He brings the word home to you. All right? And then you see the fulfillment of God's word in your life. Glory to God. All right? If God says, I am healed, I don't say, I don't think so. I say, yes, I am. See, it's that simple. God says, I am blessed. I say, yes, I'm blessed. And I'm not going to act like I'm not blessed. Or I will act like I'm blessed in church where the word was preached to me. All right? And then when I get out of the auditorium, I start acting differently. No. All right? If you have believed God's word, your thoughts, your speech, your actions will always be consistent with your faith. The moment you talk anything or think anything or do anything contrary to your faith, all right, what you are saying in essence is this: I didn't actually believe the word of God. This is a make-believe. Your action of doubt will renounce your conviction of faith. It will go against it. They call it repudiating the word of God. All right? You repudiate God's word. That means you go against it and you make it null and void in your case, in your situation. God says, don't do that. Amen? You believed, you are in faith, and 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 you are in faith. And that's the life of Abraham, our father. Let me close on this note. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. He believed God in the presence of God. Against hope, he believed in hope. You can see, believe, believe. Against hope, he believed in hope. All right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. You can see that? All right. He believed against hope. He believed in hope. He was not weak in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. See it? Let every step you take be in the direction of your conviction. If you have believed God's word, stay in faith. All right? Are you going to fulfill the word of God all by yourself? No. All right? Are you going to help God's word, you know, come to pass in your life? No. Are you going to maneuver it and cut corners? No. Is God faithful to make his word good in your case? Yes. Will he fulfill his word in your life? Yes. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, shall he not do it? Has he spoken, shall he not make it good? Praise God. But you stay in faith. And hold on to that revelation. And say, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, your life will be better for it. And you go from grace to grace and from glory to glory. I believe you've been blessed today. Praise the name of the Lord.